Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
We are here and it is now. It is the Fight IQ 301, UFC 301, Fight IQ pay-per-view preview, where we will break down every fight on the now 13-fight slate. We did lose a fight. We will get into that. But we are going to break down every fight on the card. Apologies for the bit of the late start tonight. That is entirely on my end. I was going to blame it on one of these guys here, but I just couldn't bring myself to do that. On that note, allow me to introduce them. First up, it is, you know him, you love him. It is Joe Sun Tzu. Joe, how you doing and how you feeling about the card?
Well, first off, Chris, as we talked about behind the scenes, I have to kick this pot off with an apology. I own up whenever I take a stance and it doesn't go my way. And I apologize to anyone who tailed me on this. I could not have gotten Calvin Kattar more wrong. I honestly did not see him getting muscled by Sterling like that. I mean, he's fought wrestlers. He fought Josh Emmett. Josh Emmett did not do to him what Sterling did. So I don't know if it's a function of Kattar being washed, or Sterling being just that much better, or a fight coming off an injury for Kattar, which he was coming off an injury. So I don't know what happened, but not only did I get that wrong from a betting perspective, but even in a loss, he put up a whopping 5.48 DraftKings points.
That's right.
Which I actually, for some reason, I actually ended up breaking even in DraftKings because I had a lot of Alex Pereira and I won a significant amount in my cash game. So I broke even with DFS and lost money in gambling. But I am going to give you guys another pretty strong take on this slate, and let's hope it goes a lot better than the one I gave out on 301. So again, apologies. I'm owning up to it. I got that really wrong, and I did not expect it to go that way.
We always appreciate the integrity, Joe. We know you are a man of integrity. We appreciate it. I was in the bathtub right along with you on that one. I was pretty heavy on Kattar. My general rule of wrestlers going up in weight didn't seem to apply here. I think he was just that much better. But we are moving on, and before we can do that, we must introduce the third man, but certainly first in our hearts, and never a burden to anyone, as you all know. It is Drake Burden. How you doing, my man?
And the man who was not on Calvin Kattar.
Yes, that's true.
That is correct. Not only was I on Sterling, but I also went 11-2 on that card, and I did very well on it in all aspects. That card was amazing. That is the best card that I have ever watched. Going forward, it is really hard to get excited for anything because of how stacked and amazing that card was. But it is a fight. You know, it's a card. I'm always looking forward to them. So I'm ready for 301.
Yeah. And, you know, that's about the most ringing endorsement you could give this for a pay-per-view, I think. I mean, look, we're fight fans. Even if we weren't doing the gambling thing, we'd be fight fans. So we'd probably watch it. But this is a fight night card. I mean, let's be honest. It's a fight night card that they're asking you to pay $70 or whatever for pay-per-view. There's a couple of good fights on here. There's a couple of interesting fights. But, it's a fight night card. But we are going to give our expert analysis either way. Before we do that, let me just say, if you are interested in a 10-day free trial of RotoWire, you go to www.rotowire.com/free. That is www.rotowire.com/free. 10 days access to all our premium content, MLB stuff, NBA playoff stuff, optimizers for the playoffs and the championship game, MLB regular season stuff, all that good stuff. RotoWire.com/free, no credit card required. Now we can finally move on to the fight card itself. And as I said, we are only 13 fights. I was going to wait till we got there, but I should say the William Gomez fight is off. He actually came in 3 pounds underweight, I believe, and then was vomiting backstage. So kind of a rough situation there. So the Gomez Gene Silva fight is off. So 13 fights, which we will start right now. It is Alessandro Costa at 8,200 taking on Kevin Borjas at 8,200. The line on this fight is similar to those prices. It is minus 120 for Costa, plus 100 on Borjas. And I actually think this line, I know that me and Drake are going to have an argument just kicking it off the first go. I actually think this fight is lined pretty correctly. I'm actually a big fan of Borjas. I was coming off the Contender Series. The end of the first round, I would say the last 250 of the first round in with the fight with Joshua Van shows you a little bit of what he can do. He's got a nice long jab. He's very athletic. He's got good footwork. He can grapple a little bit. He can certainly defensively grapple. And Alessandro Costa, I mean, it's interesting because he had his fight with Steve Ursek, who, of course, we'll talk about later for the main event. Costa, just a guy who's kind of bricked up for the division, can throw big bombs, can grapple a little bit. I think the footwork of a guy like Borjas is going to make real problems for a style like that, and I think it's going to get him tired. It worked a little better against Ursek in some spots, believe it or not, just because Ursek's defense is a little suspect, and, well, we'll get there. But I think that Borjas is going to have a much easier time sort of dictating the fight with his jab, and I think that his grappling is good enough to where he can stave off his grappling attempts, that is Costa's, and maybe even land a couple of his own. So I'm taking Borjas here in what I think is a close fight, but someone else does not, and that person is Drake. So, Drake, why is this not a close fight on the other side?
It's not that I don't think that it's close. It's more or less that I just think that Borjas is very unproven. Even you go back to his Contender Series fight, he was taken down five times in that fight against somebody much lesser than Costa. And, you know, if this is a pure striking match, okay, well, then it becomes much, much, much closer. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think Costa gets this down, and I think he submits him early.
All right, definitely a possibility. He is a powerhouse. Joe, how are you seeing the curtain jerker here?
So this is a pretty binary fight. I mean, it's dog or pass for me, but it's striker versus grapp versus wrestler, I should say. I'm on the Borjas side here, but it's not a really strong take. I mean, I never have been a fan of Costa. I understand the you know, that he got taken down five times in the Contender Series fight. So thank you for that. But I don't know. I don't love this fight at all. I was going to ask Chris what the salaries were, but I can't do that to Chris again.
I've had,
know,
a rough
like,
day
so Borjas is 8,000. You know, this is lined again, you know, pretty right on as it relates to DraftKings, right? 8K. He's a slight underdog. This line could go on as a pick 'em. You know, I listened to a couple other pods, and, you know, again, it's mixed. I mean, you know, there are people on the Borjas side. There are people on the Costa side. I don't love this fight, but I am going to – I would say dog or pass. You know, give me the guy who was 9-2 and scored 36.2 points in a loss. Looking very good, by the way, on short notice against Van, who has got a real future in the UFC. I mean,
looking good by absorbing 150 significant strikes.
I don't know about that.
Well, let's be looking good relative to the fact that he took the fight on short notice, and before he gassed out, he looked okay. And he scored 36 DraftKings points on a short notice fight against a far better fighter than Costa. A far better fighter. So, and a guy who's got a future in Van. So, for that reason, I'll take Borjas, but in all honesty, I don't expect to get to a lot of this fight because there are several dogs, including one that I really like, that I'm going to play more. So I'm probably big news. I am now able to play contests under $3 or less under DraftKings. They finally said this guy is not McGlovin. He's not Alex Baker. You know, he's not Coach 311. He's not any of these guys. We're going to open up these contests. So
that's kind of a bittersweet pill, isn't it? It's like you get to play, but they made a decision like, this guy's not that good. We don't have to restrict this.
Well, it really doesn't matter whether you're good or bad. It's how much money you spend. You know, that's really what it comes down to. So I'm probably only going to play 20 lineups anyway. So I don't know that I'm going to get to much of this fight.
Right.
Maybe just like, you know, market below market based on ownership. So give me Borjas, though. I spoke already far too much about this fight.
So I like it a little more than that, just because I think Costa is going to force the fight. If it was somebody else, I would agree. I think that Costa is going to force some of the action, could lead to a bigger score. But I wonder if your big dog is this fight. Something tells me no, but let's see. It is Ismael Bonfim at 9,300 taking on Vince Pichel at 6,900. Line on this fight, Bonfim at minus 550, Pichel at plus 400. And Bonfim is my pick, but I mean, that line is way too wide. Bonfim just got handled by a grappler, a good grappler, a very persistent and strong grappler in Benoit Saint-Denis. But I mean, that's Pichel's entire game, so he's going to have a pass here. Bonfim did look lost on the ground at points in that fight, which led to the submission. I don't know if Pichel is that kind of a control grappler. I'll be honest. He probably isn't. But he's going to have a path here. And Pichel's a tough guy. I actually don't know if he has ever been finished by strike. Somebody can check that. Or I can. But either way.
No, I don't believe he has, actually. I don't believe he's been finished by strike.
Yeah, I don't think
Vince
he has.
Pichel.
He's been knocked out once.
What?
Knocked out once.
One time? Okay.
How many fights is that in, Drake?
17.
Okay, yeah. So I mean, a pretty good margin there, and you're gonna have to have a lot of you're gonna have to have a probably a first round finish for it to pay off. We don't really know how good Bonfim looks later in fights, especially when he gets pushed. I can't stress enough that Vince Pichel is not Benoit Saint-Denis as a grappler, but it's still a path, and it still kind of makes you go and open your eyes a little bit. So the pick is Bonfim, but. I don't like the line, and for that reason, I wouldn't mind a couple of Vince Pichel stuck in there in GPPs. But let's go to Joe first. Joe, how you see this one?
Yeah, I mean, if he wasn't like, if there wasn't such a big age discrepancy, and if the fight was in the apex and not you know, Rio, I would probably be more on Pichel. I mean, you know. These Bonfim brothers are very erratic in how they fight. I mean, I because he's got the home court advantage here. He's the younger fighter. Yeah, I'll do the same. I'm picking, you know, Bonfim here, but I don't love the fight. I think Pichel's a dog. And if he's got anything left, he could really make this competitive. I just don't think he could win a close decision. So yeah, I guess I'll take Bonfim, but again, this is another fight where I'm not going to be really heavy on it, and I may actually have more of the dog than I do the favorite based on how my lineups are constructed. So my official pick will be Bonfim, but, you know, I don't love the fight, and I probably will have a little bit more Pichel, who, you know, again, could score decently even in a loss. But, yeah, Bonfim's the pick.
Yeah, in my mind, it's one of these things where you really have to start sweating if it goes past the first round for a number of reasons. But we will see if Drake concurs or if he's heavy one side or the other. Drake, how do you see this one?
I'm in the same exact boat, and I have it. I have Bonfim completely, almost completely deleted on all of my stuff. And it's not for a lack of him being a bad fighter or anything like that. It's simply that I believe this fight is probably going to be pretty boring. They both can grapple. They both can wrestle. I don't expect to see a ton of it actually in this fight, because I think that it's going to cancel out a little bit. So for me, it comes down to the striking, which Bonfim is obviously the better striker. And like Joe mentioned, a close decision in Brazil against a Brazilian fighter, you're likely not going to win that. So I have Bonfim, but I'm not super high on it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the way it's got to be. And I mean, especially the fact, to me, what seals it is that the one knockout there in the 17 fights. I mean, he's just so expensive that I don't think it pays even if he wins. And I'm not even that sure that he wins. So, you know, it's kind of a hard switch for me. I am picking Bonfim, but I think we're all kind of in the same boat there. Okay, next fight up is Dion Barboza at 8,900 taking on Karakate. I'm sorry, what is her first name?
Karakate.
Ernesta Karakate. Line on this fight, minus 230 for Barboza. Karakate plus 190. And despite me not knowing her first name, I am picking Karakate here. This is kind of a weird fight. It's two fighters who aren't really that active. I think they both actually had like one fight in 2021 and then a couple in 2022 and then maybe one or two in 2023. Not that active, not that experienced on either side. One thing I did like watching Karakate's Contender Series fight is she's kind of a good puncher, boxer puncher, especially for the division. She throws nice strike. She pressures. She's going to be in the face. And Barboza, her one knockout loss was actually to UFC veteran Jose Nunez, was just because Nunez wouldn't back off of her. And the end of that fight is basically just Barboza turning away and shelling as Jose lands strikes. So if Barboza can get her to the ground, it's probably going to be a dead subject. But I don't know that she can. Karakate showed decent takedown defense in that Contender Series fight. And I just think for two unproven fighters, this line is way too wide. And I liked some of what I saw from Karakate. And I have to go with her. Not really strong pick, but kind of strong just for where the line lies and how wide it is. And that I don't think it should be there. Drake, what about you? What are you seeing in this fight?
So it's very similar to what you have. If Barboza can get this to the mat, it's going to be a long fight for Ernesta. And I don't think that she finds a ton of success with that. I rewatched Ernesta's Contender Series fight a few times. She knows when it's coming. She's timed really well. She knows how to spread. And she denies those takedowns pretty well. So I think that Barboza is probably going to have issues getting her to the mat. Now, if she gets her up in the clinch, she is also good at judo, which does worry me a little bit because of those trips. But I do have Ernesta. I do think that if this is on the feet, you could be looking at 120 plus strikes because she is fast. She throws hard. And I actually, have it written in my article that I would not be surprised if she knocked her out.
Yes, and well, you know what? I stole your hot take last week, so that can be turned about in fair play. I wrote that in my article as well. That is actually my bet, and the last I looked at it, plus 900, which is absolutely wacky. I'm sorry. Even if you don't like it, you know, throw your lunch money on it and see what you get. I think because for all the reasons you mentioned, and it's just such a volatile fight, and it's a good one to take a shot at. I believe. But let's go ahead and move on to our next bout, which is...
You're just going to skip Joe?
Oh, Joe, I'm sorry. The Chick Whisperer at that. How could I?
Yeah, honestly, I did not put as much time into this fight as you guys, but I am going to go the other way. Barboza is a medalist in judo. I do think she gets her judo working here, especially in front of the home crowd. She's on a three-fight winning streak. Granted, one of those is a Contender Series win, and you know, two others in a Brazilian promotion where Ernesta is coming from an Eastern European promotion, which is better. I don't know. I'm not that deep an expert into, you know, other promotions, but I'm going to give her, look, I don't love the price. I don't expect I'm going to have a lot here, but this fight is such a wild card because, you know, if you guys, and you know, I would encourage you to stick with your hot takes on this fight. You know, this could score really well. You know, either way, honestly, because I don't know what the ownership is going to be like. I don't know how many people are, you know, at 8.9K, it's kind of in an interesting spot because you got, you know, Orbitai up at 9K and you've got Pantoja at 8,800. And I think Pantoja is going to be incredibly popular at 8.8K. I don't know about, you know, Orbitai. I don't know how popular he's going to be, but I don't know, man. This is kind of weird. So I'll take Barbosa. I like your plus 900 the other way as sort of a partial hedge. And you know, maybe playing it as a knockout. I just don't think, and I think if this goes to decision, I think Barbosa wins. So yeah, I like the plus 900 knockout. I think that's, I'm actually making a mental note to actually take a look at that. So I'll take Barbosa, but I don't hate the plus 900 knockout the other way.
Yeah. And I think that's interesting too. The idea that I wonder if the field generally is just going to pass on both legs of this fight, because there are so many other fighters and nobody's going to really know either one of these fighters too much. So it's going to be interesting. And I like the idea of that hedge too, if you're on Barbosa, but hey, plus 900 for a volume striker, why not? But now we can, in fact, move on. And it is Marcio Ruffi at 8,400 taking on Jamie Mullarkey at 7,800. Line on this fight, it is, Ruffi at minus 225, Mullarkey at plus 190. I love Ruffi here. I am totally off the Jamie Mullarkey train. It is over. When he was at his best, he would sort of pressure and make fighters uncomfortable. He doesn't do that anymore. He's just as hittable as he's always been, but he kind of sees range now, which is the worst possible combination. I think there's a reason why he's been getting knocked out lately. I think that is it. Ruffi is certainly not a perfect fighter. He's got defensive issues of his own. I don't think they're going to come to bear in this fight. I think Ruffi has a pretty easy knockout on his hands, quite frankly. I'm going to be all over him at the price point here. I think this is an excellent price point, and I'm going to attack it. So this is my first major big play on the card for a favorite in any case. Drake, we'll start with you first. How are you seeing this one?
Ruffi, round one.
You have to go first two fights in a row.
That's all right. We'll circle back the other way.
Quick and easy. Ruffi, round one, knockout. Yeah.
There you go. All right.
Nothing else to it. Mullarkey's got seven losses. Five of them are by knockout. He's got no chin left. Good luck.
No chin left at all. I agree. Joe, it is on you, my friend.
Okay, so Rafi's a killer. I mean, you look at the guy. He's freaking chiseled. What neither one of you guys mentioned is that this fight is at lightweight. Rafi's been fighting at welterweight. So he's actually coming down to fight at welterweight here. So you have to believe with rehydration and how can I put this? No USADA, that he's going to be extremely well hydrated and he's going to look huge. Mullarkey, you know, traveling to Brazil to fight this guy. And by the way, I love the camp. This is one of, well, it was going to be three fighters from the Fighting Nerds camp. And that's the camp that's got Caio Barraio, you know, Gene Silva. And unfortunately, that fight is off. And this is the third Fighting Nerd. So what I was going to do is I was going to put together like a Revenge of the Nerds parlay. But, you know, with three fighters, not with two. So I think I'm going to do a nerd slash my underdog parlay, and that pays plus 420, but we'll get into that later. But I like Ruffi here as well. So that it's a trifecta. I agree with you. It's the first favorite that I really like on the card.
Is Gene Silva nerd? He's a little too bricked up to be a nerd.
He's a nerd.
Know. He is.
Okay. Fighting nerd.
Maybe
over him too, so it sucks.
Yeah.
Maybe he's got some glasses that he can put
on.
Yeah,
right.
Make it work. All right, but so since we are skipping that fight, the next one on the docket will be what is it? Oh, yeah, I saw a different fight. It is Dracar Close at 8,700 taking on Joaquin Silva at 7,500. Line on this fight: Dracar Close in at minus 185. Joaquin Silva at plus 160. The pick on this fight is close, but I'm probably fading it. I don't really see a lot of action going. I know that, I mean, there might be a little more hype on Dracar. He's been getting knockouts lately, which is funny because his whole career in the UFC, he was known as like a decision machine. I think before that knockout a couple of fights ago, it was six straight to a decision. I do think he wins this fight just because of his volume and his attacking, and Silva is just way too stationary. We always make the same joke, a guy named Neto BJJ who never wrestles nor uses jiu-jitsu. But I just think he's powerful. He could land a shot, I guess. Close keeps his chin up in the air. We've seen that biter before, but I'm not banking on that here. I just think that Cole's going to outwork him and go to a decision that probably won't be too high scoring. I think close as a cash play, maybe. I wouldn't go too far beyond that. So for me, I'm going to wave bye-bye to this fight in lieu of some other things that I think are going to be more cost efficient and score more points. But Joe, I will go to you first. How do you see this one?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Look, there is some narrative around this fight. Look, close. I like close. I think he's better everywhere. And you know, has advantages, but a couple of things in the negative ledger. You know, one is that he is not a very active fighter. two, his wife, ex-UFC fighter Courtney Casey, you know, had a pretty rough childbirth, and I don't know like what effect that might have had on him. And he is flying to Brazil to fight. I'm going to pick close here. I don't really love this fight either way, but I'll pick close for the win. I don't know how much of this fight I'll have on DraftKings. I'm not getting to a lot of Drakkar close in my lineup builds, but you know, I guess we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think it's really hard to fit him in, even at the price. Because, I mean, you have to decide between some other mid-range and then there's some, I mean, we'll get to it, but there's some more expensive fighters up the card. So for me, he doesn't really fit in there. But maybe Drake has a different opinion. Drake, how do you see this one?
No, it's not far off from you guys. I got close by probably decision or Silva by knockout is really how I see it. I don't care much for this fight. I have close winning, but it's not something I'm super high on.
Yeah. I think it is, as Joe put another fight before, one of those binaries, where it's like knockout or decision. I don't really see it going another way. And, Silva, another guy I believe never been knocked out, and I don't see close subbing him certainly. So, I think that that's going to be a fight that we move on from, and we are moving on, as well. Skipping that one and then going to, Mike Tebek, Oral Bay at 9,000, taking on Elves Brenner at 7,200 line on this fight. Oh, no. There it is. It is minus 250 for Oral Bay, plus 210 for Elves Brenner, and at 9,000, I really love Oral Bay here. I think he's a great play. I think he's really strong for this division. I think he's a great control grappler, great submission grappler. He's got a gas tank. And I know Elves Brenner. I know he's the guy who gets wrestled and gets beaten and then comes back and wins. I don't see it happening here just because of the smothering of Oral Bay. I don't know how often he's going to be able to get back up. And if he does, I think he's just going to have to get taken down. Oral Bay is very tough. I don't see him getting tired or getting knocked out. I just love him at 9K here. And I think people might go ahead and take Brenner just because of that past and how we saw him do that to a grappler, in fact, get beaten, get tired, and then come back and win. I don't see it happening here. I'm on Oral Bay very heavy at the 9,000 price. I think it's a decent price for the amount of points he's going to put up. 7 takedowns in his debut, I believe. It was at 123 points. Yes, it was. So I think something similar can happen here. I like him quite a bit. 9,000, book it for me. And we'll start with Drake. Drake, how you seeing this fight?
I'm really torn on this fight. I had Brenner. I have Brenner in my article. And I'm very tempted to switch it. And a big piece of that is just like the last fight, he is coming down from 170 to fight at 155. And for someone that has cardio the way he does and the way he can chain takedowns, it really does worry me. Brenner, you know, you mentioned how dangerous he can be at times, but how much of it was – you know, cardio issues from his opponent or, you know, whatever it was. He's not going to face that in this one. So I think I actually am going to switch my pick over to the favorite. And, you know, like you mentioned already, Oral Bay could easily just shatter the slate with chain takedowns and anything, any early finish it's going to be really well at, you know, at 9K. So I'm going to go with you. I'm going to switch my pick over to the favorite and ride it out.
Wow. I don't think we've ever had an official pick switch. It's been a while. I would have to go back into the archives, but I don't think so. So, Drake, we're all about integrity on this show. We had Joe before, and Drake said, you know what? I don't like this pick anymore, and I'm going to be straight about it, and we appreciate that. But is Joe going to switch his pick, and who is Joe's pick?
I'll be the lone dissenter here, and if it isn't completely obvious by my background, this is who I like. I like Elvis.
You know, I didn't put that together.
I know. Chris, you really are having a bad day. So look, this guy has been an underdog beast. Trains at Shoot a Box with Charles Oliveira, home in Brazil. You know, coming off three wins in a row. Yeah, I get there's some narrative perhaps around those wins, but look, I like him here. I'm not saying don't have some shares the other way. But at 7.2K, I'm going to bet him. I'm going to have him in some DraftKings lineups. I don't know what ownership's going to be, but I will be north of whatever that is, because I need some underdogs. And at 7.2K, I really like this. I like a guy coming off of a 3-fight winning streak where he was the underdog in every fight, and he's coming back home to fight in Brazil against the pro Brazil crowd. So I'll go with the dog here at 7.2K.
All right, we'll get to that later, but it is a consideration that we are in Brazil here. I'm thinking of one fight in particular where it might be relevant. I'm sure you can maybe guess which one that is, but that is a consideration, especially fights that we think might go to a decision where the crowd might lie and where the judges might lie. Not supposed to be a factor, but we know that it is. But we'll move on to the next fight. It is Yasmin Lucinda at 9,200 taking on Karolina Kolkiewicz at 7,000. Line on this fight: Lucinda at -415, Kolkiewicz +315. And I'm pretty much going with the line here. I know that Kolkiewicz is taking that takedown defense has gotten a bit better. We've seen that in recent fights, but she's just going to get stuck to here. She's not going to be able to plant and throw in the pocket the way she likes to. I think Kolkiewicz is just going to get swallowed up here. We've seen prior to this little resurgence, and good on her for having it, but we'd seen her been taken down and completely dominated before, and takedown defense hasn't always been that great. I think that it relapses here again against a really active and persistent grappler. So Lucinda is going to be my pick in this one, and we will start with Joe. Joe, how do you see this fight?
Yeah, so Kolkiewicz is pretty far up my Vaseline metric scale. I honestly wanted her to retire. Like she took such a beating in a fight, and I can't remember what fight it was, but like she was a bloody mess, and I'm like, you are far too attractive to like continue to take these kind of beatings. And like, yeah, give her credit. She came back and rolled off a number of wins. By the way, bit of trivia. I was actually at Karolina Kolkiewicz's debut fight. And you want to talk about a card. Now, this was a fight night card. It was not a pay-per-view. A card that is actually going to go down in the annals is like one of the best launching cards in UFC history. On this card was Francis Ngannou, was Valentina Shevchenko, was Charles Oliveira, Junior Dos Santos, Alistair Overeem, KK and Val were both making their debuts. You know, Charles Oliveira, like I said, what an unbelievable stacked card this was for a fight night card in Orlando, Florida. And what was really cool about this is I got to have dinner with Frank Mir and sit next to Frank Mir and his wife at the fight. Really kind of cool. So anyway, I have an affection for Karolina Kolkiewicz. I am half Polish myself, but I'm going to have to go with Lucinda here. I think Karolina Kolkiewicz is smart. I think this fight can be closer. I do think the line is a little bit wide, but give me the favorite here. I don't love it, honestly. Give me the favorite here. I don't think she's going to beat KK up. But I'll take her. That's my pick.
So do you say Mir because you said Mir and he corrected you? Or did you know that it was Mir the entire time?
I'm sorry, what was that? Oh, Mir. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, he didn't correct me.
Okay. I thought you may have said it wrong in front of him because I don't know anybody else who actually says Mir, although I know
it's fun. It's funny. I'm actually bigger than him. Like we stood side by side and I'm actually both taller and wider than him.
Yeah. I might have to pick you then. We'll have to see what happens when the line comes out.
Yeah, but, he'll kick my ass.
But all right, we will move on to the next fight now. It is Joe Anderson Brito at 85.
Why are you skipping me?
I did. I'm sorry. Well, it's 1-1 now. Okay, Drake.
Tisk tisk. We need a new host. Send your applications in.
It's a mutiny. It's a mutiny.
Anyways, hey, I'm going to complete the trifecta for this fight as well. Kovalkiewicz, she's done really well in her last two fights. She's got 139 and 141 significant strikes in both of them. But unfortunately for her, they were against lesser competition than Lucindo. And I think that Kovalkiewicz is going to drown in this fight on her back and then get submitted.
Yeah, no, I agree. Kind of a straightforward pick. Kovalkiewicz has to build into her wins and kind of ride the momentum, and I don't think she's going to have any of that here. So we will move on to the next fight now, and I promise that's the last skip. It is Joe Anderson Brito at 8,500 taking on Jack Shore at 7,700 line on this fight. Brito at minus 175. Jack Shore plus 150, and I think Joe Anderson Brito is my favorite play on the card. I love where he is in the price range. I was kind of thinking, and I wrote some articles. So this fight kind of makes me feel like what would his fight, him being Jack Shore's fight against Ricky Simone, look like if Ricky Simone was bigger and more athletic? And I think we're gonna get a bit of an answer here. Brito is very powerful. He is very fast. He can wrap up those submissions in an instant, as we saw in that fight with Jonathan Pierce. He can get his own power takedowns. And Jack Shore, I don't know that it's a good idea. I know he's had some early success. I don't think moving up in weight is going to do him any favors. Certainly not in this fight. I expect Brito to be better everywhere. Maybe not the cleaner puncher. Maybe that one little aspect. But otherwise, I expect Brito to kind of roll. I don't expect Shore to be better anywhere. He'll be a little faster. I'm not too worried about it. I think Brito is in a perfect spot here for his price range, for his skill set. I'm ready for a grappling match, and I'm ready for Brito to win if that's the way it goes. Or I'm ready for Brito to knock him out on the feet if that's the way it has to go. But, yeah, my pick is Brito. And here we will go to Drake first. Drake, how do you see this one?
Man, I don't think we have ever agreed so much on a card ever.
I know. I'm it's getting weird now. Go ahead.
Brito is also one of my favorite plays on the slate. Don't get me wrong. Jack Shore is a great fighter. He's quick. He's solid all around everywhere. But Brito is just scary. And when you face a guy that puts the amount of pressure that he puts on and can knock you out or submit you, it's really tough to get past him. And I see likely another first or second round, finish for him. And I don't think Shore is going to look good in this fight. I think it's a bad matchup.
Yeah, me either. Boy, I mean, we started off with the confrontation with the Borjas fight, but it's been pretty smooth sailing since then. So we'll see if we can pick it up on that. But yeah, I do agree. I love him at this price range, and I think he's being tremendously undervalued here. Joe, how do you see it?
By the way, if you want your mind blown, you know, one of my favorite, like, boxed pastry snacks is, and again, I don't know if this is something regional or if they sell this nationwide. I assume they do. But you guys know what a funny bone is?
Like Yodel or something.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. But it's devil's food cake with a chocolate coating infused with peanut butter.
Yeah, right.
And chocolate they are made by Drake.
Oh, all right.
So mind blown. Okay, so about the fight. So I first saw, my New Jersey accent. Yeah. I try to keep it in check. I first saw Jack Shore at 7.7K and thought, I got a 16-1 fighter at 7.7K. Like, why not? And then I'm like, he lost to Ricky Simone at bantamweight, went up to featherweight and beat Mr. Finland, who soon after retired, and then I think lost the fight on the regional scene. And can you imagine what the Finnish regional scene looks like in MMA? I can't. Yeah, I mean, I do not like the spot for him. He is coming to Brazil, you know, to fight a killer. I have to complete the trifecta here. Oh, and by the way, as an added bonus, again, do not tell me, please, because I have been colder than a witch's tit. I will be giving my Derby winner pick play at the end of this. So if there's any reason to stick around to watch this entire podcast, I will give you the horse that I will be betting for whatever that's worth, and that's not likely worth much, to win the Derby. They will tell you that their odds are between 10 and 12 to 1. So, go.
Nice. A little tease there in the business. We call that a tease. We like that. Joe, thank you very much. Getting the viewership. But for before we continue, we will move on to the main card. But first, we are going to take a quick break to pay some bills for the audio podcast only listeners. We will be right back.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company, serving collectors since 1945.
And we're back. I hope that was instructive for everybody. I hope you did something good during that time. But we are now moving on to the main card. And it is Kyle Barreto at 9,500 taking on Paul Craig at 6,700. Barreto can be had for, where are you? Minus 600. Paul Craig coming back at plus 425. And, you know, I've always liked Paul Craig for the reason I liked Alexei Oleinik so much. I like these fighters who don't have that much but succeed in spite of it. And Paul Craig is definitely one of those. A really slick jiu-jitsu guy who's kind of learning on the fly in the UFC, learned how to kind of develop a kicking game that's not very good, learned how to kind of develop a wrestling game that's not very good. His jiu-jitsu is what he has. He was a guard puller on the regional scene. He was a guard puller early in the UFC. I appreciate the fact that he's trying to round out his skill set. This is a pretty long preamble to say that he is not going to beat Kyle Barreto. Barreto is just better everywhere. The athleticism is just light years away. If he wanted to just keep this on the feet, he could. But I think he's going to out-grapple him from top position anyway. As tricky as Paul Craig is, we've seen him out-grapple before from top position. And I just think Barreto just has this fight wherever it lands. If he does take him down, it'll be interesting because we will get to see a guard play from Paul Craig, and he's good at it, and it'll be fun to see, but I don't think it's going to be enough. I like Kyle Barreto, and that the salary is kind of prohibitive. I'm going to kind of stay away from it. I think Barreto can put up that 110, 115, especially like if he gets a couple of takedowns and then a sub or then a knockout in the first, it works. But, Paul Craig's a tough guy too. And like I said, he's a smart fighter. He finds his way in there. So if he is able to stay on or maybe stalemate some of those top position that Barrio gets, it could be a little dicey. So I'll have some of him for sure, but 9,500, a little bit prohibitive there. But I think we start with Joe. Is that right? Thank you so much, Joe. How are you seeing this fight?
So Kayo is 6'1". I'm 6'3". I would give up 2 inches in height if I could look as good as he does in glasses. My God, this guy must be fighting him off with a stick. Yeah. Okay, back to the fight. So I agree with pretty much everything you said, Chris. My only concern here is DraftKings scoring. Has not exactly been a prolific scorer on DraftKings, our boy Kyle. And by the way, he is the original fighting nerd. You know, so that is really my concern. Like, he's the second highest priced fighter at 9.5K. And I'm pulling up his game log here. 68.3 at 9.2K in a win. 107 against Lord McCall in at 9,500. 9,000 against Muradov, 75.2 points. You know, 8,900, he scored 80.5 points. And 77.1 in his debut at 7.8K. You know, honestly, that was probably his best score. Like on, you know, on an X basis. So, you know, he's averaged 81.6, which on paper is not bad, but like you're paying 9.5K for this guy. So I honestly, I don't have him in a lot of my early builds simply because, you know, historically he is not rushed to get a finish. I mean, all his fights, with the exception of the Lord McCall fight, have gone the distance, you know? So what's going to happen here? I don't know. Is he going to be motivated by being home to look for a finish here and to be more active than he usually is? I don't know. So for those reasons, at 9.5K, I am not getting to him a lot in my build. So I'm curious to see what Drake says. I'm going to shut up.
All right. Well, we will see what Drake says right here. Drake, how you see this fight?
I am also not planning on getting to very much of him. For all the reasons stated, he is a slow starter. What he does is he just fights smart. He knows when he's up and he does everything to slow play and counter, sit back, whatever he's got to do. I will say, Chris, I do not think Paul Craig is smart. I think he is one of the dumbest IQ fighters in the UFC. And if you go back to his Ozdemir fight, that's all you need to know, because what he did that entire fight was pathetic. I can never back Paul Craig again after that. Yeah, I've got Barallo, but I prefer him in some betting sense rather than on DraftKings.
I just love the fact. Like, I hope Magomed Ankalaev never loses a fight, so that we can say that Paul Craig is his one loss. That is the best story in MMA.
But by the way, guys, Paul Craig scores horrifically in a loss.
Oh, of course.
Like, yeah. So like if you're playing any Craig, like you're not going to, it's going to kill your lineup, because let's look at his losses. 4.8, 1.2, and a whopping 15 against Ozdemir. And then in a draw against a person who I think might have been legally dead, Shogun, he scored 38.7 points in a draw. So you know, this is like a buyer beware dog type of play. Like, the only way you're going to make any money on Paul Craig is if he wins. So he is an absolute lineup killer if he loses. So don't even think about playing him in cash. It's suicide.
I just wanted to say that Robert Figueroa a lot sooner than I did, Joe. So there you go.
Yeah.
Wanted to put
way
that
to go. There. Way to go, Mr. McElroy.
All right, but we will move on down the card. It is Michelle Pereira at 9,600, taking on Ihor Pateria at 6,600. Line on this fight, and you can only imagine, it is Pateria at minus 625. I'm sorry, Pereira at minus 625, Pateria at plus 450. And I mean, obvious play is obvious, but I will say, we saw a different Pateria in the last fight. He was way more controlled than we had ever seen him in that last win against Brajic. Having said all that, I don't really care. I think Michel Pereira is just I really think he's found his groove at middleweight now. I think this is the weight class for him. He's way more active. He's way more of a finisher, way more finishing instincts here. And, you know, maybe it's because he feels like he's not going to get tired, which was a problem earlier in his career. In any case, just going to be way more athletic, just going to hit way harder, going to have the grappling in his back pocket if he needs it. Kind of doubt that he will. I kind of just see a knockout here. Love the play. 9,500 is a lot. But you're going to have to weigh that against how often this ends in the first round with a Pereira knockout, which I think is fairly often, at least. So I think the 115-120 score is doable. It is kind of prohibitive, but the pick here is Pereira all the way. And I think we're starting with Drake here. So, Drake, how do you see this one?
Pereira is more or less just a low-level kind of sad fighter when it comes down to it. Pereira at 9,600, I think he's the highest favorite on the card, or pretty damn close. Completely deserving. I think what happens here is you have Pereira try to just rush in and he gets countered, stunned, and then knocked out almost immediately. I do think this is going to be our first round finish. It is something that I will probably play. Like you said, this could easily be a knockdown or two plus 90 points in the first round. You could be looking at 115, 120 points for sure on DraftKings.
Yeah, I agree. And I do think that he's not really going to be able to avoid the skirmish. And as you say, he might even initiate it. So no love for the duelist in this one, putting that gun back in the holster. Joe, how do you see this fight?
Yeah, the same way. I mean, this is a layup for him at home. I mean, he's a killer. I don't think he's going to play with his food all that much either. So, I think he also has the best inside the distance line of anybody on this card. I think you gotta figure out a way to get him in, even though he is 9.6K, because, you know, this is about as close to a free square on a card that you're going to get. Now, with that said, if you really want to be contrarian, you know, take a shot the other way. I would be absolutely shocked, but like his ownership, I think he's going to be the lowest owned. I'll give you some preliminary ownership on him. I'm not going to reveal the source, but I'll give you some preliminary ownership. I actually thought it would have been lower. 7.7, between 7 and 8%. Yeah. He is scheduled to be, or predicted to be, the lowest owned fighter.
So I love handing out contrarian plays, even like a maybe take a look at this one. I can't go there for this fight. I can't even imagine a scenario in which it does happen. I mean, I guess he can knock him out, but we haven't really seen Pereira get hurt all that much outside the first fight where I think he was just clowning around too much. So I think as everybody said, just lay up, put it in the basket. Feel the next way about our next fight, which is Vitor Petrino at 9,400 taking on Anthony Smith at 6,800. Line on this fight, Petrino at -550, Anthony Smith at +400. And I'll go even a step further. Why is Anthony Smith still fighting? I don't even understand it. I think the guy, like, he's kind of found a role in the commentary team there. He should stay there. He's really kind of broken down now. It started going downhill after the Glover beating, which is understandable. And just the guy who really needs to work his way into a fight. And at the heavier weight classes, you can't do that. He's a guy who likes to stick behind his jab. He's a guy who likes to throw kicks. He will wrestle occasionally if he thinks he's really got an advantage there. But otherwise, no good. And Petrino is just a tank. He's always going to keep coming. He's always going to swing. And he's just going to overwhelm Anthony Smith. I expect this to happen a lot more quickly than it did in the last fight. But I expect a knockout of Anthony Smith all the same. I like Petrino. And if you're asking me to decide between Petrino and Pereira, I might take Petrino just because
Pereira's swarming and knockouts are sort of a new phenomenon, even though I do think they will continue. Petrino just fights this way all the time, and Anthony Smith is just not going to be prepared for it. So I love Petrino here. I am going to take him happily at whatever scant discount that is in comparison at 9,400. I will take Petrino, and I believe we start Joe. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Thank you, Joe. How do you see this one?
Yeah, so I'm with you here. I mean, I don't know. I think Petrino has got a ways to go before he's like a force in the division, even though it is a fairly weak division in the UFC. Yeah, I'm not sure what Anthony Smith is. I think he might be borderline deluded because he thinks he actually can fight Alex Pereira and that would be a good and competitive fight. So, you know, he's got to climb this mountain first. And look, I don't know if stylistically this is a horrible matchup for him. I mean, he's a veteran. This guy's a kid. I don't think Anthony Smith is going to be intimidated by having the fight in Brazil. I just think he's outgunned here. You know, it's interesting because the over is really favored here. Like over 2.5 rounds is like minus 150. You know, so you've got a guy who, let me give you the odds. You got a guy who's minus 520 to win, but he's plus 150 to win by finish. So, like, what does that tell you? Like, you know, if you really think Anthony Smith is going to get finished, plus 150 is not bad for a guy that's minus 520. You know, so I would think that might not be the worst way to go. So, for whatever it's worth, I'm going to take Petrino too. I just, you know, I don't know. I don't love it, but I'll take Petrino.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe the lines people are. So, I mean, he couldn't finish Tyson Pedro, which is probably something that you should do. But I mean, like Anthony Smith is going to be so shopworn at this point, not getting any younger, and I just expect that one of these days he's going to explode like an old car. Drake, how do you see this fight?
So my podcast that I do with Joey last night, the very first thing I said about this fight is why is Anthony Smith still fighting? And I think I've said that the last couple of fights. I also mentioned that I'm pretty sure at this point in his career, the only person that he can beat is Ryan Spann, because for whatever reason, their beef just amplifies his need to win. The loss to Khalil Rountree, that knockout did damage to him. And that was only in December. He is back way too soon. Petrino, he's got power. He doesn't tend to use it, but I fully expect him to just waylay Smith in this fight. I'm not sure Smith really even has much of a chance to win this fight. I don't know how he would do it, you know, unless he somehow reversed it and grabbed the back of Petrino, but I don't see it happening. I love Petrino in this fight.
Yeah, as do I. And I just noticed they put two squash matches on this main card here. I guess they just want the cheap pop for the Brazilian crowd, but we as the viewers don't have to like it. But okay, we're going to move on to the co-main event here, which is I'm going to announce his name first because it is in a highly irregular move, because it is the return of Jose Aldo at 7,900 taking on Jonathan Martinez at 8,300. Line on this fight, Aldo plus 128, Martinez minus 148. And, you know, I can see being kind of gun-shy on Aldo. Time away is time away, but then when the guy's going to retire, meaning his head wasn't in anymore, and then he comes back, I can definitely understand being a little gun-shy. But I really think this is a great opponent for Aldo coming back. I think if he retained his speed and hand speed, punching speed, he's going to really be able to use it here against Martinez, who's really more of a flat-footed kickboxer. Martinez's game centers around the leg kick. Aldo, along with his own leg kicks, which he doesn't do so much anymore, probably one of the best leg kick checkers in the sport, if not the best leg kick checker in the sport. So, And Jonathan Martinez is not the guy who's going to be aggressive and swarm you and put the pressure on. He's just not going to do it. And that basically how you beat Aldo is through attrition And Martinez just isn't going to do that. So I really like Aldo here. I think this is a good, good spot for him. I just don't really see Martinez winning if his best weapon is taken away. And I think that's what's going to happen here. So I'm on Aldo for the glorious return. I did mention this a little earlier, but if it's a close decision, it's probably going to the King of Rio in Rio, I would imagine. Don't make a pick off of that, but just keep it in the back of your mind. But we will go to Drake first. Drake, how do you see the co-main event?
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you. I do think that Aldo makes a great play for a lot of things. I think he fully has a reasonable shot to win this. The only preamble to that is the layoff that he had, and you know, he was technically retired. Now he's coming back. I'm never big on that type of thing. I do have Martinez winning this fight, and a lot of it has to do with his leg kicks, but then what he did to Adrian Yanez. That was nasty. I mean, his power is unreal in those straight shots. Aldo does eat a lot of those straight shots. We saw it against Piotr Jan when he got knocked out by him. I think we could see it again here.
Yeah, I see that, and I definitely see worrying about the layoff, but, I mean, it's Aldo. Come on, it's Aldo. So, no, I can certainly see it. Joe, how do you see the co-main event here?
Yeah, interesting, because initially when I looked at this, my first thought was Martinez. And then I thought about it, and there's a narrative on both sides of this fight. So Aldo wanted to be a boxer. So what he's been doing is, yes, he's been retired from MMA, but he's been boxing. The thing here is he hasn't really looked all that good as a boxer. He actually fought Jeremy Stevens. Yes, Jeremy Stevens, the little heathen, to a draw. So has not really looked that good as a boxer. Then on the Martinez side, like, this is such a big spot for him. Like, traveling to Brazil to fight the King of Rio. You know, in the home crowd, like, is, and Martinez, for those of you that don't know, is a pretty soft spoken guy. I mean, he's like the Calvin Coolidge of the MMA fighters. Like, you can't get, you know, two words out of him. Right. So, you know, and Chris, you made a great point about Jose checking leg kicks, like one of the best, if not the best, the checking leg kicks. So I actually missed Jake's email early in the week to submit picks. So I did not submit my picks until yesterday when he followed up with me and said, yo, Joe, you have picks. So sorry, Jake, I missed your first email. My fault totally. And that gave me time to think about it. And I came fully around to Aldo. So I'm on Aldo. I don't know if this is going to be a great scoring fight, but I think he's priced right. So I'll take Aldo here. The King of Rio, you know, maybe he retires after this fight. I think Martinez has got a future in the UFC, but this might just be too big a spot for him.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where Aldo goes if he wins, because he wasn't looking all of that bad when he decided to hang it up. So we'll see how he looks now. And I just want to say on the boxing point, quick point, we know that he does train, Aldo does, with Hobson Conceição, Olympic gold medal boxer. Hasn't had quite the same success in the pros, but still certainly miles ahead of, you know, any MMA boxer. Okay, we are going to go to the main event. Before we do, hit that like button if you're listening on YouTube. We appreciate it. Subscribe to the channel if you would like. We do these every pay-per-view, so every month you will get a show from us. We certainly appreciate it. Now we move on to the main event. It is Alejandro Pantoja at 8,800 defending his flyweight title against Steve Ursig at 7,400. Line on this fight, minus 180 for Pantoja, plus 150 for Ursig. And before I looked at this fight, I had to make sure that bias wasn't getting the best of me. And the reason for that is, like, it wasn't all that long ago that Steve Ursig was a significant underdog against David Dvorak. In fact, I think it was only last year, a fight in which I picked him, by the way, just sort of the backhanded brag there. But it's got to be way too soon. And I think this is all just an upshot of when Demetrius Johnson left, they wanted to disband the flyweight division. The flyweights themselves came back and saved it because they realized they were putting on exciting fights. But I just don't think the talent pool has risen up to the level that it needs to be yet, which is why a guy like Usyk, no matter how good you think he is, getting the shot off the back of, you know, three wins, one of which he was a massive underdog on. But having said that, I talked a little bit about why I don't like Usyk when I talked about Alessandro Costa, which is Costa had the decent amount of success just coming forward and throwing big shots and going with for his grappling. And Usyk, you know, he's got a really crisp jab. I like that about him. But he's got a little bit of the tall man defense going on where he just pulls his head back. And I don't like that, especially against Pantoja, who's going to be coming after him 100% of the time with strikes, mixing in his wrestling. The grappling exchanges are going to be interesting here. I do think Usyk is a good grappler. I don't think he's on Pantoja's level in that either. So I think we have some differences of opinions here, but mine is quite strong, and I think Pantoja walks through him. I really do. I don't think Usyk is ready for this step yet. I'm interested to see how his career progresses. I think he can be a good name in the division and maybe rise up. And maybe come back and do it again. Maybe take the Henry Cejudo route. But for now, I think Pantoja just has this one in the bag here. And I know our first presenter is going to disagree, I believe. But Drake, how do you see the main event?
Start with Joe.
I will start with Joe. Joe.
Yeah, the disagreement isn't going to come from this side. I like Pantoja here a lot, honestly. Okay. I think this is... honestly, I think the reason for this fight is Brandon Moreno essentially retired. Cejudo retired. Honestly, there's like no one else to fight Pantoja. You know, despite the resurgence of 125, there aren't a lot of legitimate contenders. Like Manel Kopp, it was hurt. I mean, you know, like Alex Perez is not ready. He had a really good performance, by the way. You know, last week I was on Perez. You know, in the main event, I actually bet him and, you know, played him in my primary lineup in DraftKings. Excuse me. So the only way I see Usyk possibly winning here is if Pantoja death gasses in the first round. Now, we've seen him, like even in his fight against Rival, he looked very gassed. And then he came back and sort of got a second wind, sort of got a second wind. So that is the only way, the only path to victory I see for Usyk is that he you know, Pantoja death gasses and doesn't get his win back. And I don't know, like Usyk just lasts a round or two and, you know, Pantoja gasses and Usyk. But I honestly don't see that as even being a very high likelihood of an outcome. So I'm on Pantoja here. I love the price. I mean, you're getting Pantoja at sub 9K. Like, how do you not jump all over that? So I'm on Pantoja.
Well, Joe, you don't see a path, and I don't see a path, but I wonder if our next presenter does see a path. Drake, how do you see the main event? We have competing banners now. Go ahead, my friend.
Yeah, no, so I get everything that people are saying, that it's too early, that he doesn't have the skill, and I'm going to disagree with all of you. Will I be surprised if Pantoja defends his belt? No, absolutely not. But the cardio difference is where everything comes down to for me in this fight. Pantoja gasses. I mean, Royval could have made a comeback in those championship rounds had Pantoja not, you know, resorted to kind of hanging back a little bit and, you know, trying to keep just control. And Usyk, he's sneakily good. I think you're going to see a lot of things you haven't seen from him yet. We have yet to see his grappling because he hasn't needed it. And it's going to surprise a lot of people. And I think once this gets, assuming it gets into rounds 3, 4, and 5, specifically 4 and 5, the championship rounds, you're going to see a very, very close fight. Now, if this does end in a decision, yeah, it likely goes the way of Pantoja because one, he's got the belt, and two, it's in Brazil. But you call me crazy and everybody's going to, but I am going to take Usyk by finish. He is going to hand Pantoja his first finish of his career.
Wow. as well. I think maybe that pushes you off your hot take, and maybe
I was going to say Drake doesn't need to give a hot take.
That's why I didn't say anything earlier when you brought it up.
I wish you guys told me about the banners. I would have had my Ernesto Caricate banner already. Yeah. Go. But yeah, so I totally understand it. I do think it's going to be a good fight, but I am one of the two Sooners. But we will see. And that certainly concludes the fight breakdown for the UFC 301 card. But we are not done yet. It is hot take time if you are new to the show. This is where we grab lines, parlays, whatever it may be that we think are lined a little too steeply, and we give them to you so you can potentially profit. As I said, this can be parlays, it can be individual fights, whatever you feel is lined incorrectly and has a decent chance of hitting. And I'm going to turn it over to the guys first. And while I do that, if in chat, if you have any parlays, put them there and I will read them out. But does anybody here, and I think we can guess a few of them, but does anybody want to say their hot takes rather?
Yeah, straight? So I'm going to give you a hot take. DraftKings has got a promo going where they're giving a parlay boost for 301. This is DraftKings Sportsbook. And the only criteria is, one, it's a maximum $100 bet. And two, you can't have any fighter in the parlay with odds of higher than minus 500. So that is my logic behind putting this parlay together, is like, I can't have any of the really big favorites in this parlay. So I am going to parlay our friend Mauricio Rufi, one of the fighting nerds, minus 218. Joe Anderson Brito, minus 180. Alejandra Pantoja, the cannibal, minus 185. Yasmin Lucindo, minus 395. And finally, the king of Rio, Jose Aldo, at plus 120. Now, with the 30% boost from DraftKings, that parlay is now plus 1122. So I am going to put the full 100 on that parlay. I'm doing it right now. Boom, boom, boom. Bet 100 to win $1,222.86.
Guys, you just wasted 100 bucks. I'm so sorry.
Pantoja, Aldo, or both? Guess so that's it.
Let's kick it over.
And then, Chris, remember, before we sign off, I got to give my derby pick.
Oh, yes, we will do that. I'll go ahead, and I gave mine away early, but I just checked, and that line is still as live and ridiculous as ever. It is Ernesto Caricasta at plus 900 for the knockout victory. So throw your spare change, your lunch money on it, and I only asked for a 10% cut, which I think is reasonable. So that's mine. Be on the lookout for that. Put that in your
I have a really, it's not as, you know, high and mighty as Joe's until you add in my fourth. But so I have a three-piece parlay that I really, really like. It's Joe Anderson Brito, Mauricio Ruffy, and Michelle Pereira to win inside the distance. It's the three fighters. They should all do it, and it pays plus 435. Now, if you're like me and you think that Steve Urseg, which not many of you are going to, finishes inside the distance and you want to head him to it, it goes all the way up to plus 2147. So,
Drake, can you do me a favor and DM me that? Because I did not write that down. So yeah, if you could DM me that, I'll play it both ways. I'll put a little touch on there in case you're right about Astro Boy. But I love me some 21-1. Oh, I mean, I'll put whatever the exact amount of money is, and I am known for doing this. Like, I'll bet like $42.53, like whatever the exact amount of money is to win a grand on that parlay. I will put the exact amount of money in on that.
I like it.
Yep. Hey,
we had some heavy duty hot takes this time, boys.
Yes, we did.
A couple of four digits that'll get you, and one that's close to four digits. So gotta love that. I do not see any in chat. They must have all been blown away by our spectacular takes. So before we sign off, Joe, give us your derby play.
Okay, now let me preface this by, I am not the horse race aficionado that I was in my youth, where I used to actually like record the races and watch them and take notes. And like, I am not that guy anymore. There was a time when, you know, and I'm dating myself here, when the, you know, if you weren't going to use a bookie, the only like legal betting action was to go to the racetrack. And that's where I spent my youth, particularly Friday nights, going to the Meadowlands racetrack, which is, you know, not too far from where I grew up in New Jersey. So since then, the one race that I usually bet every year is the Kentucky Derby. And a little bit of background, obviously, they call it the fastest 2 minutes in sports. It is massively wagered on, which means the betting pools are really huge. So if you're going to play like exotic wagers, you know, even with the two favorites, you'll get a decent payout. The other thing is there are 20 plus horses, which is, if anybody knows anything about racing, you know, the average field is 6 to 10. Like, you've got 20 something horses here. So favorites generally, like, favorites find it hard to win because there could be any type of traffic problems, and it's mile and a quarter race. All these horses are 3 years old. So I always look for some horse in the middle that has got really good figures and, you know, it's going to pay something. So the odds I've seen on this horse are between 10 and 12 to 1. And the horse I'm playing, and I'm going to be doing a bunch of exotic wagers. Like, feel free to DM me if you want to know what exotic wagers I'm playing. Exotics meaning exactus, trifactus, superfectus. I'm probably going to put about $150 into this race. The horse that I'm betting is called Just a Touch.
I knew it.
How did you know it?
I have it up as well. That's exactly who I have.
Really? Wow. So you got a twofer. That's the 17 horse.
I knew it.
Just a Touch. That's who I'm playing.
Is that a horse as well, Forever Young?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. By the way, Ty, Forever Young is in my exotics. So Forever Young, well, I'll give you my exotics real quick. I've got four horses that I'm playing in exactus and trifectas, and I got five horses I'm playing in a superfecta. So my exacta and trifecta horse, and I'm playing a box. So a box means that whatever orders the horse comes in, you win. You just have to get those horses to come in that order. So I'm playing Just a Touch. I'm playing Fierceness. I'm playing Sierra Leone, and I'm playing Forever Young. Again, that's Just a Touch, Fierceness, Sierra Leone, and Forever Young. And that is in my exactas and trifecta boxes. And then I am adding a horse for my superfecta. Now, superfecta is incredibly hard to hit. You've got to pick the winner. You got to pick the first four horses that finish in the exact order. But again, if you play a box, they could finish in any order. So I'm going to play a five-horse box, cost $120 for a dollar. And I am playing Just a Touch, Fierceness, Sierra Leone, Forever Young. And then the one horse that I'm adding that I am not playing in my trifectas and exactas is Just Steel. So there you go, guys. Drake, right. You playing any exotics? Do you have any exotics? Any other horses?
I've never really gone too much into those because it's a bunch of confusing stuff.
Yeah. But you got an outlet to bet the horse, Just a Touch?
Yes.
Okay. There you go.
It was really funny when you said that. I just had this feeling that that's who it was going to be.
Yeah. I mean, he's been earning progressively higher buyer figures, and I won't explain to the crowd what buyer figures are because I actually read Andy Beyer's books back when I was a kid. Like, I read his books, and he's the racing analyst for the Washington Post. But like he is the publisher of these buyer figures, which everybody kind of goes by, and it sort of is supposed to put horses on an even playing field relative to the number that they run. So a lot of players will look for horses with ever increasing buyer figures. So anyway, Chris, do you have them for the Derby?
I do not. I did not know that was happening. I do not follow horse racing, but I'm glad that you were able to give some picks, and I hope everybody enjoyed our MMA/horse racing podcast for the night. But that's interesting. It's like sabermetrics for horses, which I think is fun. But in any event, I hope you all succeed in both things. If you are playing Joe's picks for the ponies there, I hope that you do well. I hope that everybody does well in their UFC 301 contest, and we will see you next month. Thanks, everybody.
Peace.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. it's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.